Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 171. Let's bake cinnamon rolls. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast. It's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. Now, on today's episode, I'm taking my occasional Let's Cook live cooking format and flipping it on its side a little bit, and we're going to be doing a Let's Bake episode. Going to get in the kitchen and bake up some treats. Now, admittedly, this is not something I do all that often, but it is the holiday season, and I thought, what better time than to get in the kitchen, roll up our sleeves, get some flour everywhere, and do some baking. So today, we're tackling scratch-made cinnamon rolls. But of course, before we get into that, there are a couple of bits of housekeeping to take care of quickly, because there's a lot to talk about in the cinnamon roll episode. But before we get there, a couple of things. If you want to get a hold of me, the easiest and most direct way to do that is to send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Another good way, if you're into Facebook, is to hop over and either send me a Facebook message or go to our Facebook private Facebook group, which is the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. If you're interested in that, the easiest link to follow would just be to go to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. It'll take you right there. I'm usually poking around in there, and we've got a lot of other great members in there that are always happy to answer questions. Folks are sharing their food pictures. So if you're a food picture sharing sort of a person and all your other friends are like, stop sharing pictures of your food. We love pictures of food in that group. So this is your new home. Head over and check that out. Also, for this particular episode, to get the recipe I'm going to be baking through today, I will put that in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/171. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/171 for the show notes. Okay, I want to get into this baking episode because there is a lot to cover. And by the way, there are going to be a few breaks throughout this episode, because unlike a live cooking episode where I can cook a dish perhaps from beginning to end without breaking at all, there are a few places where we just sort of have to stop because the process requires it. For example, we need to let the dough rest after we knead it. We need to let the rolls rise for a while. In most of those breaks, I'm just going to let you know we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll just be right back, and I'll tell you how much time has elapsed, so you know. But in the first break, when we're letting the dough rise, I am going to do a little bit of a dive into the spice cinnamon, since, well, it's cinnamon rolls, and it's sort of the featured spice of the day. So make sure you keep your ears open on the first break for that. Now, I know a lot of you want to do more baking because especially the folks that are joining the Facebook group, they say, I want to learn more about baking. And probably at least half of you that joined the Facebook group mentioned baking as a skill you want to get better at. So I'll tell you what, these cinnamon rolls, while not completely entry-level baking material, I would say are on the lower tier of difficulty for baking. There is some working with yeast. There is some kneading. There is rolling out dough, rolling up the cinnamon rolls, etc. But the wow factor in as far as how delicious these rolls are, and the presentation factor, when you take this out and show people what you've just made, they're going to be amazed. If you're a beginning baker or you're a little bit comfortable with baking and you just want to try some new things, maybe you want to move beyond baking bread and into more sweet stuff, this, I think, would be a great place for you to jump on in. So without further ado, have a listen as I bake through homemade cinnamon rolls. Hey everybody, Roger here. Thank you so much for joining me in the kitchen today. We're going to be doing a little bit of baking for this Let's Bake episode of the show. And today we're going to be making one of my all-time favorite things, cinnamon rolls. Now, I've talked about cinnamon rolls before, my mom's gooey cinnamon roll recipe, but this was way back towards the beginning of the show, and I've probably brought it up since then. But today, I thought I would actually make some scratch-made cinnamon rolls, And we're going to top it off at the end with a hot buttered rum inspired glaze to switch things up just a little bit. Now I'm going to read off the ingredients and the equipment you're going to need. But again, you can head over to the show notes, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show, to get the recipe so you don't have to hear me read things off and try to write it down and follow along. But the idea here is that we're going to have cinnamon rolls. By the time we're done with this thing, we'll have a couple of breaks in between while the dough is rising and stuff like that. But I'll talk about that when the time comes. So as far as equipment, I am not going to use an electric mixer. I'm going to try to do this as low tech as possible. So really all you need here is a place to work and roll out dough, a clean counter surface. I have a countertop, but I like to use a roll pat, which is like a Silpat mat to roll on. It just makes for a little bit easier cleanup. You're going to need a rolling pin of some sort, a mixing bowl to mix your dough in, and then something along the lines of a 9x13 or so dish, baking dish, in order to bake your cinnamon rolls. You could also use a 9-inch round pie pan, and when you put your rolls in, you just put them around in a circle instead. That works as well, too. And then, of course, you're going to need a whisk, a mixing spoon probably, and you know, various measuring utensils. For the glaze, a little bit easier, you're just going to need a small saucepan and a whisk. And we're going to do that, of course, towards the end of the episode. So when we're talking about cinnamon rolls, a lot of folks think cinnamon rolls are very tricky and very difficult to make. And they can be. They can be. But this cinnamon roll is really simple, and it's aimed at the folks. And there are a lot of you I know, because when you join the Facebook group, you tell me, probably at least half of you say you want to learn more about baking. This cinnamon roll recipe is going to wow folks, and I would put it at just maybe past beginner in the baking skill level. There's going to be mixing and kneading some dough. There's going to be rolling out and rolling up some dough. It's not as complicated as it sounds, and this particular recipe is a single rise recipe, and it can be done in a couple of hours max. This is not an overnight rise dough. That's it for equipment. Let's talk about the ingredients, and we're going to talk about this in three phases: the dough phase, the filling phase, and then the glaze phase. So for the dough phase, you're going to need 2¾ cup all-purpose flour. You're going to need 1/4 cup granulated sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 packet of Rapid Rise instant yeast. I'm using Fleischmann's Rapid Rise. That's the dry ingredients. For the wet ingredients, you're going to need 3/4 cup milk, whole or 2% work best, 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, and 1 large egg. So that is the dough ingredients. For the filling ingredient, we're going to be using 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter softened to room temperature, 1/4 cup of granulated sugar, and 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. And then for the glaze, for the hot buttered rum inspired glaze, you're going to need 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, and 3 tablespoons each of dark rum and water. All right, you guys ready to get baking? Let's do this. Okay, first thing we're going to do is prep the dough. In your mixing bowl, and again, I mentioned I'm doing this all by hand. I'm not going to be using any electric mixers. You could certainly use an electric mixer if you want, but I figure if you follow the recipe this way, you can make it no matter what kind of equipment you have. So in my mixing bowl, I have measured out my 2¾ cup all-purpose flour. And a quick note on measuring flour, or measuring any ingredients for baking, it's always the most precise to use weight measurements, such as grams. Again, I'm trying to make this as accessible as I can for folks that might not have a digital kitchen scale. So the proper way to measure out your flour is not to take your bag or your box or your container of flour and jam your mixing, or your measuring cup rather, down in and pull it out, because that really packs in the flour. And in a lot of cases, you're going to end up with more flour than you want. The proper way to measure is to take a spoon, like a tablespoon, for example, and measure out by scooping out of the bag or the container into a measuring cup until it's over, mounded up there. And then you take something like a table knife or something with a flat edge. There's all sorts of baking gadgets for this purpose too.
And then you want to go ahead and level off that cup of flour, for example. That's a good, well-measured cup of flour using the spoon into the measuring cup technique. You're going to end up with less flour that way. So you're not going to over make your dough too dry and floury. If you do this, you're probably going to come out, if you do measure this, you're probably going to come out to about 350 grams of flour, give or take a gram or two. That's about what we're shooting for. So I'm going to mix all the dry ingredients together first in a bowl with a whisk. So as I said, I've measured out my all-purpose flour. I'm going to go ahead and add in my sugar. Okay, my salt. And my Fleischmann's instant yeast. And my Fleischmann's rapid rise yeast. That's going to go right in. Now this is instant yeast, so you don't need to proof this in warm water first. Instant yeast you can count on to put right into your dry ingredients, and then as you add the liquid ingredients into the dry ingredients, the yeast will come alive. If you only have something like active dry yeast and not instant yeast, that would work too, but you typically want to proof your yeast by putting it into a warm liquid first and then using that liquid after you know the yeast is alive and it, you know, foams and grows, you're going to put that into your dry ingredients. But with instant yeast, and especially the rapid rise, which is going to make this a really fast cinnamon roll recipe, I put it straight into the dry. Now I'm just whisking everything around a little bit to mix it up nicely. Okay. Those are our dry ingredients. Now I've got this 3/4 cup milk, my butter, and my egg. What I want to do really is warm up this liquid a little bit, and I want this butter to melt. So I've just put the milk actually into a Pyrex measuring cup, a glass Pyrex cup. You can put it in a, you know, any microwave safe bowl, or if you want to heat it on the stovetop, that's fine too. I'm actually just going to pop this milk into the microwave. Oh, let's just say 45 seconds. I'm shooting for a warm liquid. I'm not shooting for hot. If it's too hot, typically with instant yeast, if it's over 130 degrees Fahrenheit, it will kill the yeast. But you do want it warm, so you're shooting for somewhere between, let's say, 110 and 120 Fahrenheit, which I think, if I remember my conversion, is going to get you right around 43 or 44 C, I believe. 30 seconds. I'm just going to check the milk. It's just getting nice and warm. I'm going to let it go for maybe another 10 seconds. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the butter into the milk, stir it around until it melts in there as well. Okay, let's give that a try. So the milk is nice and warm to the touch. I'm going to go ahead and add in the butter, which I've taken the 3 tablespoons of butter and cubed up into smaller cubes so it'll melt a little bit easier. If you just put like a 3 tablespoon brick of butter into the liquid, it's going to be a lot more difficult to melt it up with a low temperature. Just stirring it around and my butter's melting up nicely. As soon as it's all melted in, I'm going to add this along with the egg into my dry ingredients and then mix it up to form sort of a sticky dough. Okay, my butter's melted in there. I'm going to go ahead and add this into my dry ingredients along with my whole large egg. Then I just have a wooden spoon I'm going to use to start mixing this up. You're going to make sure you get everything incorporated until you get a nice sticky dough. It'll be crumbly at first, and then as you mix, it'll start coming together and picking up all the flour and the other dry ingredients in your bowl. It might look a little shaggy. That's okay. Just keep going. In a minute here, as soon as it's all come together, I'm going to turn this out onto my floured surface, and then I'm going to knead this for about 3 to 5 minutes or so by hand. Again, if you're going to use an electric mixer, you could do the same thing with the dough hook, but it's just as easy to me to do it by hand. And I don't have another dish to have to wash. Okay, I'm going to put a little bit of flour, sprinkle a little flour on my surface here, rub it around. I'm going to turn this dough out, maybe put a little flour on my hands. It's going to be very sticky at first as you knead it, and your hands are probably going to get really doughy. Don't worry about it as you work it. It will dry out, or it will become a little bit less sticky and just a little bit more tacky to the touch. You can use a little bit of flour if you're really having a problem, but don't overdo it. Because if you add too much flour in sort of trying to keep your surface and your hands from sticking, you can actually just end up adding too much flour to the dough, and then you're going to have a problem. So I'm kneading it, just pushing it down with the heel of my hand, giving it a half turn. And again, I'm going to do this for about 3 or 4 minutes, or really until the dough starts to come together. Now, it is pretty sticky, so I will add just a little bit more flour to the work surface here. And I'm just going to keep kneading, turning, pushing. Now, why do you knead dough? Is probably a question if you're not a baker, you might be asking. And I was trying to think of like a good analogy for why and you need to knead dough. The reason you need to knead it, I mean, fundamentally, is you're trying to form gluten in the dough, which is what's going to provide the structure that when you go to let the dough rise, it's going to trap all the gases that the yeast produces, and it's going to give you the nice rise in your dough. So it's really important that you knead the dough to get all of the proteins mixed up and connected together and create a nice amount of gluten. It's kind of like if you are going to mix some paint and you go by the white paint base, and then you get the color add-in. I mean, you probably have the hardware store do this for you, but you know, you drop the color in and you give it a couple mixes. It doesn't, you know, your paint's not ready to go. You really got to mix it up to get all of the pigment distributed throughout correctly. I mean, it's kind of a dumb analogy, but maybe that makes a little bit of sense. Anyway, I'm just kneading it. It's a very wet dough. But it is starting to come together and dry out a little bit. If you're doing this at home, you might be thinking, wow, this is really sticky dough. I don't think I did this right. Just have faith, keep kneading, it'll get there. And again, don't be afraid to add a little bit of flour to your work surface just to keep the stickiness down, but don't overdo it. I mean, you don't want to end up adding like a quarter cup of flour just to keep for the stickiness, because that's really going to throw off the proportion of your dough. A electric mixer with a dough hook would definitely be less messy for your hands, but again, you know, not all of us have the luxury of having an electric mixer, and I still want you to be able to make delicious cinnamon rolls. So that's why we're doing this by hand. Okay, it's getting there. We're really close. I've been kneading for about, I don't know, 4 minutes. And again, when I'm kneading, I'm just pushing down with the heel of my hand, picking it up, turning it, pushing it down with the heel of my hand. And we're to the point to where it's no longer sticking to the surface anymore. And you can really tell that it's starting to come together as a dough here. Okay, we're about there. Now, again, I mentioned if it's just not coming together, if it's just a little too wet, feel free just to add a little bit of flour in as you're working it, just a real little bit at a time. And, you know, probably doing this as you're keeping it from sticking to your work surface. And then eventually, you know, your dough will get to the point to where it's going to be dry and tacky to the touch rather than sticky to the touch. I'm going to roll it into a little bit of a ball here, and then I'm going to go ahead and just put this down. I'm going to take my mixing bowl that I used to combine all the ingredients. I'm just going to flip it over and cover the dough and let it rest. Now, it's going to need to rest for about 10 minutes. And, you know, as we were kneading it, we're causing all the proteins to hook up and create gluten. Now we need to let it rest for just a little bit, because when we go to roll it out, if it hasn't rested, it will be very inelastic, meaning when we roll it out, it'll just have a tendency to shrink back into its smaller size. And we don't want that to happen as we're rolling it out. So we want to let the gluten rest and relax. And when we go to roll it out, it will be a lot easier to work with. So we're going to let that go for 10 minutes. And you know what? I'm thinking maybe now is a really good time to take a break and talk about our featured spice here, which is cinnamon. So I'm going to kick it back to future Roger. We're going to talk about cinnamon while this dough rests. And I'll meet you back in the kitchen in about 10 minutes.
All right. Hey, while we're waiting for the dough to rest, let's talk for a minute about cinnamon. Last smorgasbord episode I did in November 2020, I talked about cloves. So today, I think it's only fitting because we're making cinnamon rolls to talk about cinnamon. So we're continuing on our tour of warm spices. Now, cinnamon, of course, is probably one of the most familiar spices to home cooks everywhere. It's certainly one of the most popular and distinctive spices in the world. I mean, it flavors everything from pastries, a la cinnamon rolls and cookies, to curries, to stews, to tea. Not to mention, it's a primary ingredient in blends like garam masala, pumpkin pie spice, just like our friend cloves as well. Now, like our friend cloves, cinnamon is also harvested from an evergreen tropical tree, except this particular spice comes from the bark. It's harvested during the wet season when it's easy to peel off the bark, and then as it dries, it turns into that distinctive spice that we know as cinnamon. The bark curls up into little quills or cinnamon sticks. And that, of course, is commonly found as the whole form of the spice. You can find cinnamon quills or cinnamon sticks in the supermarket pretty much anywhere around North America. And then, of course, even more versatile and popular would be the ground form of cinnamon or cinnamon powder. Now, a note, I know a lot of folks like to take whole spices and grind their own powdered form of those spices. Cinnamon sticks are pretty hard and they're not that easy to grind up yourself. So I would recommend, aside from taking a cinnamon stick and running it over a microplane to get a little cinnamon off of there, if you need large quantities of ground cinnamon, it's really generally best just to buy a good quality cinnamon already ground. Now, what many people may not realize is that when we're talking about cinnamon, we're actually talking about a couple of different, though closely related, spices. Actually, it's more than two spices, more than two varieties, but there's two that are probably the most common, or at least the two that I want to focus on right now. The first one, by its scientific name, would be Cinnamomum verum, commonly referred to as Ceylon cinnamon, which is named after the island from where it originated and is still largely produced, of course, now called Sri Lanka. Ceylon cinnamon is probably the most highly prized variety of cinnamon. It's got a light tan, almost a buff color, a very delicate, almost sweet flavor. The food snob inside of us would probably consider Ceylon cinnamon to be the cream of the crop, the best form of the spice you can get, the one true cinnamon, if you will. And of course, as such, it can be quite a bit expensive. In fact, it's the most expensive variety of cinnamon. Now, the second variety of cinnamon I want to talk about is Cinnamomum cassia, or simply cassia cinnamon. And cassia is spelled C-A-S-S-I-A. You'll sometimes see this variety referred to as Chinese cinnamon, or even false cinnamon. Of course, if Ceylon cinnamon is the one true cinnamon, this one must be the false one. Cassia is primarily grown in China and Southeast Asia. It's a little bit different than the Ceylon cinnamon in that it is a darker, reddish, more rusty color. It's quite a bit more pungent, and it's a little bit more bitter than Ceylon cinnamon. And cassia cinnamon is much more common and, of course, less expensive than Ceylon cinnamon. In fact, in North America, the generic term cinnamon almost always refers to the cassia variety of cinnamon. So when you're at the store and you're buying cinnamon, unless it says otherwise on the container, when you're buying cinnamon, you're probably getting the cassia cinnamon. In fact, if you live in the United States, it's possible that most of the cinnamon you've ever eaten in your life has been cassia cinnamon. Now, that said, cassia cinnamon isn't bad. I know we're using loaded terms like true cinnamon and false cinnamon. I don't think that's really the right way to frame it up. So, for example, cassia cinnamon is actually probably a better version of cinnamon when you're baking it into pastries like we are with cinnamon rolls. That's because it has a stronger flavor. The more delicate Ceylon cinnamon can be overpowered oftentimes by other flavors, and it's probably better used when you just need a light hand and that delicate Ceylon cinnamon flavor can shine through. Maybe you're flavoring fruit or you're sprinkling some on your yogurt, whatever it is. So again, the true, the false cinnamon, the fake, the real cinnamon, not useful ways to frame this. Think of it like this. I mean, there's lots of things in the food world that can be compared this way, right? So let's just take one other simple example and talk about limes. So on the one hand, you have your common supermarket variety of lime, usually a Persian lime. And then the other hand, you have something like key limes. So Persian limes are larger and more acidic and tart than their milder and slightly sweeter cousins, key limes. Now, at the end of the day, they both function as limes. Neither one's inherently better or worse than the other. If you need to make a key lime pie and you have nothing but Persian limes, you can make that work. You just might end up with a pie that's a little bit more tart than had you used key limes. So that's kind of how I look at Ceylon cinnamon versus cassia cinnamon. Both have their merits, and it's just not useful to frame the discussion as good versus bad. So my point being, don't run to your spice cabinet and toss out that jar of McCormick's cinnamon that you've got up there. It's probably the cassia variety, but that's going to be fine for most of your cooking applications as a home cook. Now, as for storing cinnamon, regardless of the variety you have, with whether it's Ceylon, cassia, or whatever, as with most spices, the whole form tends to last longer than the ground form. So for cinnamon or cassia, the quills or the sticks will last longer than ground cinnamon. Stored in an airtight container away from extremes of heat and humidity, quills should last 2 to 3 years, while ground cinnamon and cassia will keep for about a year. But be aware with the ground variety, the flavor will dull over time. Those volatile compounds that give cinnamon and cassia its flavor will evaporate. And incidentally, this is one of my favorite parts about cinnamon. The compound that gives it its flavor is the decidedly less sexy sounding cinnamaldehyde. So our dough is done resting. Grab your cinnamon, whatever kind you've got, and let's put it to work.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hope you found that little sidebar about cinnamon interesting, or cassia maybe in today's case. But we've let the dough rest for about 10 minutes or so. Now it is time to roll out our dough. And we're going to roll it into a rectangle, something like a, 14, maybe a 14 inch wide rectangle, something like that. I'm going to go ahead and flour my work surface. I'm just using the same work surface that I worked the and kneaded the dough on here. You can go ahead and just put a little sprinkling of flour on the top of your dough if you want. Now, if you're going to roll something out in a rectangle, you don't really want to start from a round ball. So what I like to do is just sort of take my hand and gently form my dough here into some semblance of a rectangle. I'll take a picture of this too so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. But that way when you go to roll it, it is going to cooperate a lot more, and you're not going to get frustrated trying to roll something square starting from a round shape. So I'm going to take my rolling pin, and I'm not going to press very hard at first. I just want to gently start from the inside of the dough and push outward to the edges, again, sort of coaxing it as I go into somewhat of a rectangle. It's not going to have perfectly square sides, mind you, but the idea here is we want it to be a little bit wider than it is deep, if that makes sense. And I'll take a second picture after I've rolled it out. Now, sometimes people will take the dough before they roll it up to make the actual rolls, they'll square off the sides so they have a nice rectangular section of dough that they're working with before, you know, they fill it and roll it up. I typically don't go that nuts with it because part of the charm of these cinnamon rolls is sort of the rustic way they look. I mean, they're not going to be ugly if you don't square off the side, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. So I'm just gently rolling. Again, typically not the best idea to roll back and forth with your rolling pin. Just sort of start in the middle, push out, lift up, take a different angle, push, take a different angle, you know, lift up, take a different angle, push out from the center. Try to get as even thickness as you can all the way around. Yeah, and see, so my dough has some weird wonky edges that aren't perfectly straight, but it's going to work just fine. And because we've let the dough rest, it's not flying back into shape or into a, you know, a mound. It's staying somewhat how I roll it out. So I'm going to go ahead and take a picture of it now, and I'll put these in the show notes so you can see what we're talking about. Okay, so we're done with the dough portion of our cinnamon rolls, and we're going to move on to the filling. Now, I mentioned before we're working with 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter that has been softened to room temperature, so it's going to spread and be very easy to work with. If you've just taken your butter out of the fridge, that's okay. Just pop it in the microwave for 15 seconds or something like that, and that should soften it up fine. Just keep an eye on it. You don't want to melt the butter. You just want it to be softened. So I'm going to grab a table knife, butter knife. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this softened butter. And I am just going to start spreading it all over my cinnamon roll dough. Use all the butter. You'll be tempted, as you will with the sugar, in a second. You're going to put it on here. You're going to be like, man, that looks like a lot of butter. Don't know if we really need that much. Can I just sort of brush on some melted butter and call it good? You could. But this butter is really going to help all of the yummy sugar and all the yummy cinnamon adhere to your cinnamon roll before you roll it up. And it also adds a little bit of moisture to your roll so they won't dry out too much in the middle. So again, just taking this, spreading it all over with a butter knife, and it's room temperature butter, so it's spreading pretty easily and it's not, you know, hurting the dough at all when I do this. I didn't mention it, but my roll is probably 14 inches wide, my dough, I should say, or so. All right, we're going to get all that butter spread as evenly as we can. And I'll take a picture and show you guys what that looks like. I don't know if these you know, progress pictures are worth it or not, but what the heck. Okay, next step, we're going to sprinkle this 1/4 cup of granulated sugar all over this butter. Now, again, you're going to look at this and think, dang, that sure looks like a lot of sugar. Well, it is a lot of sugar, but, you know, I tell people, you know, you're making sweet pastries, you're not making Brussels sprouts, right? You want this to be sweet and flavorful and good. And honestly, I always have to remind myself when I do this, because I do look at it and go like, dang, does seem like a lot of sugar. This is 1/4 cup sugar, right? So if we do the conversion real quick, that would be what? There's 4 tablespoons in 1/4 cup, and there's 3 teaspoons in every tablespoon. So this really only comes out to about 1 teaspoon of sugar between 12 cinnamon, you know, for each cinnamon roll, because we're going to be dividing this into 12. So don't worry too much about the sugar. It will look like a lot. It will seem like a lot. But again, this is the name of the game. Okay, that's all beautifully spread around in there. And I'm going to take the cinnamon, and this is about 1 tablespoon. Again, you can up or reduce the amount of cinnamon depending on what your cinnamon love tolerance is. You could even get a little crazy and add some other spices in here, like a little clove and nutmeg. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to put in here. So I'm just sprinkling this all over the place. These are going to be some really yummy cinnamon rolls. Okay, I'll take a picture of that. Okay, now we're going to roll it up. We're facing it right now where the long edge of the dough is facing us. Oh, you know what? Before I do that, I am going to prepare my baking dish. Now, you want to put something in the baking dish. You want to grease it with butter or something, but I'm lazy and I love this Baker's Joy no stick spray for baking. It's got a little bit of flour in it. So I'm just going to hit my pan really quick with just a little bit of this. Doesn't need much. And then set that aside. Oftentimes I'll just take some butter and rub it around inside the pan, but I'd still be starting that and I'm already done with the spray. Okay, so I'm at the long edge of the cinnamon roll. I'm just going to start with my thumbs here and I'm just going to start slowly curling up the long edge, working it back and forth. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you made snakes out of clay, only much slower and a little more precise. You just kind of want to roll it as you go until it's going to be a little bit tricky to roll because it's because the filling is going to be, you know, dry and it's going to want to just push. So you kind of have to lift it up as you roll. You don't want to just roll it and push all of your filling ingredients right out the other side, right? So lift as you roll. Some people will tell you to leave a little edge of the dough unfilled so it'll seal shut. Honestly, I don't really bother with that because it doesn't usually matter when I bake my cinnamon rolls. So you want to roll these up fairly tight, right? Now, when you get it rolled up, what I like to do is usually trim off. I'm going to move it on to just a cutting board because I don't want to cut my sill pat, my roll pat with a knife. But what I want to do now is just take a knife and I am going to trim the edges so they're square. You can use a serrated knife. Those usually work pretty well, but and you know, the ends are kind of wonky usually. They're not really a complete cinnamon roll and they don't usually have all the filling in them. So I'm just going to go ahead and cut the ends. Now, I've got this long tube of dough. What I want to do is cut them into 12 equal pieces. And the easiest way to do that, instead of starting at one end and just eyeballing 12 pieces, is to just use the rule of division. So the first thing you want to do is score the middle of the roll. You eyeball it about halfway through. That's usually easy to do. I'm just going to score it a little bit with my knife. And then I'm going to, the two equal pieces that are left on each side, I'm going to score the middle of those. Okay. So now I have four sections of cinnamon rolls that I can cut fairly easily by just dividing each of those smaller sections into three, if that makes sense. And then I've got a nice, consistent cinnamon roll size for my 12 rolls. And when you're cutting, serrated knives work great. You can just let the knife do the work, run it back and forth. Let it go through the knife, through the dough. If you press too hard, you'll pinch them. Now, as I cut these, I'm just going to go ahead and lay them, swirl side up, if that makes sense, in the pan, three wide and four deep. And I'm not getting these perfectly sized, but oh, such is life. When they rise, it'll probably solve most of that problem anyway. And don't worry about it if some of your cinnamon rolls are a little bit smaller because they came from maybe an end piece or something. Not that big of a deal. Just go ahead and put them in your pan. I'll take a picture of this when I'm done again as well. Okay, now the next step is an easy step as well, is we need to let these rise. Now, if you have a reasonably warm kitchen, just cover these loosely with a clean kitchen towel. You can put some Saran wrap or some press and seal over the top just to cover these up. And we're going to let these rise. Now, it is rapid rise yeast, and there's no set prescribed amount of time it's going to take. What we want to do is have the rolls double in size. So right now they're in the pan. And you'll see the picture. They're not really touching one another, but as they rise, they'll expand and they will sort of fill up the pan. And I'll take again a before and after picture about this. I'm guessing it could take about an hour, but I'll check them every 20 minutes or so. And when they're doubled in size, they're pretty much ready to go in the oven. So I don't have anything to talk about for an hour. So we're going to take a break as these rise, and then we'll be back to finish them off in the oven and put our hot buttered rum glaze on these cinnamon rolls. Hey everybody, I'm back. My cinnamon rolls have been rising for just about an hour and they look pretty good. I'm going to take a picture of these so you can see what they look like right before they go in the oven. But compared to the first picture I took, now you'll see that the roles have sort of expanded and risen, and they're crowding each other a little bit more in the pan. So I've begun to preheat my oven already to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. We're going to bake these for somewhere around 22 to 25 minutes. Probably for the first 15 minutes or so, I'm going to bake them uncovered. I'm going to keep an eye on them, and if it looks like they're getting too brown, we just want them lightly golden brown. If it looks like it, after about 15 minutes they're getting too brown, I'm just going to go ahead and take a loose piece of aluminum foil to sort of tent over the top of the cinnamon roll, so for the remainder of the baking time, they won't continue to brown so much. What you don't want to have happen is for them to get too brown and then they get kind of hard and chewy. You want these to be, somewhat delicate. All right, so these are ready to go in the oven. I'm going to pop them into the oven at 375. I'm going to put the timer on for 22 minutes. And I'm going to check them after the first 15. I will catch up with you after they're ready to come out of the oven. We're going to make the glaze. We're going to finish these things off, and they're going to be dynamite. Okay, I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Hey, everybody. I just took these cinnamon rolls out of the oven. They're perfectly light golden brown. As I mentioned before, I watched them up through about 15 minutes to make sure they didn't over brown. I did throw a piece of tin foil on top to let them finish baking the rest of the way. But as these cool, we're going to hop over and make the hot buttered rum inspired glaze, which we're going to go ahead and pour over the tops of these bad boys. Now, I'll also put an alternative recipe for just a simple vanilla icing glaze in the recipe notes at the show notes as well. But I thought I was inspired because hot buttered rum is one of my favorite winter holiday time drinks. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to incorporate that into these cinnamon rolls somehow? But, you know, if rum isn't your thing, or, for whatever reason, you can certainly do the vanilla icing as well, and these rolls will be fantastic. Now, this isn't an icing or a frosting per se. This is going to be more of a sugary glaze, obviously, because we're using, again, 3/4 cup sugar, 6 tablespoons of butter, and 3 tablespoons each of water and dark rum. And in a small saucepan over medium heat, I'm just going to go ahead and melt the butter. Get that started anyway. I've got a whisk here as well that I'm going to use. I'm going to go ahead and add the water and the rum. I'm just using, you could use light rum too, but I'm just using a Meyer dark rum. I love the smell of rum. It really, especially the dark rum, it really has heavy aroma of sugar and vanilla. Of course, rum is distilled from sugar, so that's not surprising. But it just reminds me of a tropical island somewhere that I really want to be at. And I'm resisting the urge just to drink the rum now, but I'm going to go ahead and put it into the glaze. And now I'm going to go ahead and put the sugar in. Now, as soon as the butter melts, and you're stirring this constantly, by the way, as soon as the butter melts, we're going to bring this all to a boil, and we're going to boil it, again, stirring constantly for about 3 minutes, and that is going to set this up just perfectly to be able to pour over our yummy, yummy cinnamon rolls in waiting over here. I don't know, have you all had hot buttered rum? I know it's not that common, but when I was a kid, and of course I didn't have the version with rum in it, but my parents made hot buttered rum all the time at the holidays. In fact, my mom would make hot buttered rum mix and put it in the freezer, I believe, and then we would just have hot buttered rum mix in the freezer when the holidays came. But basically, hot buttered rum mix, of course, is butter and rum, hence the name. But the mix itself that you can pre-make, and I'll try to find a recipe. I might have a recipe in my recipe box for this. But it's essentially butter, spices, like the warming spices, cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, those sorts of things, and vanilla ice cream, all blended together. And then you put it in the freezer. And then when you want a hot buttered rum, you just heat up some water like you would, let's say, if you're going to make hot cocoa or a hot cider, and then take a big spoonful of that hot buttered rum mix and drop it in and stir it up, and you're good to go. With rum, of course, if you want it, or you don't have to add the rum in if you just want more of like a virgin hot buttered rum Both delicious, but man, what a warming, wonderful wintertime drink. I'll find a recipe for that and put it in the show notes as well. You can buy a pre-made mix oftentimes as well, but it's not that hard to make the mix yourself. Okay, my glaze is starting to come up to temperature here. The butter is pretty much all melted, and I'm just now stirring constantly to get this up to a boil. So I'm going to turn it up to like medium high. Now, while I'm doing this, I should also mention my other favorite cinnamon roll recipe, which is my mom's gooey cinnamon rolls. Probably in the Midwest, I would guess they're not even called cinnamon rolls. They're probably called like caramel rolls or something like that, because essentially you would take the dough and the filling like we just did, but instead of baking the rolls dry and putting a glaze on top, you actually fill the pan that you're baking the rolls in with a mixture of heavy whipping cream and brown sugar. You pour that into the pan you're going to be cooking the cinnamon rolls in, and then you put the cinnamon rolls right in that and let them rise. And then when you go bake it, you invert it, when they're cooled, you invert the pan, pop all of your cinnamon rolls out, and you've got these beautiful sticky rolls with this gooey brown sugar heavy cream mixture. Oh my gosh, they're just so good. They're so good. But they're the kind of cinnamon rolls you have to eat right away because... you have to because they're just freaking amazing anyway, but they also get kind of soggy if you let them go too long. They're really gooey, but man, right out of the oven, whew, almost nothing better. So you could use this dough and filling recipe for that as well. Okay, I'm stirring my glaze. Looks like it's just about ready to come to a very low simmer. It'll go quick at this point. It's starting to bubble quite a lot. So I'm going to leave it at medium high and just stir the heck out of it the whole time here. Once it comes to a boil, I might reduce it by just a notch or two, maybe just down to medium. I'm going to let it boil for about 3 minutes while I'm stirring it. And again, this will make the perfect sticky glaze to pour over our cinnamon rolls here. Yeah, I don't get in the kitchen to do a lot of baking. There's a few things I can make, cinnamon rolls being one of them. My wife is really the baker, and I know some of you thought, because I hinted at this in the Facebook group, that I was going to be doing a baking-themed episode this week, and some of you were like, oh, your wife must be joining you. And now I feel kind of bad because, obviously, my wife's not joining me, and I'm in here baking by myself. Maybe I can still convince her to do something before the end of the year. Baking wise, holy smokes, it smells good. Now, as this cooks, you know, most of the alcohol in this rum is going to cook out. There'll be a little bit left over. We should be left less with the alcohol taste and more of the molasses sugary type of a taste that, you know, is sort of the signature of dark rum. You could also use spiced rum, I suppose, and then you could, you'd really have like a hot buttered rum thing going on with the spices. You could also add some spices to this, I suppose. I'm not going to do that, but there'd be nothing stopping you. Okay, we've been going for about 2 minutes. Stirring constantly with a little whisk here. As soon as I see the clock flip over one more minute, we're going to go ahead and pull this off the heat. We'll let it cool down just a little bit, and then we're going to go ahead and pour it over our cinnamon rolls. And then I'll take one last picture to put in the show notes, and then you'll be dangerous. You'll be ready to go make your own glazed cinnamon rolls, which I'm telling you is a perfect little treat for holiday mornings when you wake up. Maybe you're seeing what Santa Claus brought in. You've got some cinnamon rolls waiting for you in the kitchen, or maybe you just... woke up from a hard night of celebrating 2020 being over with. I know I will be. And, you know, nothing goes better the day after that than a good sticky cinnamon roll. Okay, I think we're there. That's about 3 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and take this off of the heat and prepare to pour it on to our cinnamon rolls. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and take this glaze, and I've let it cool down a little bit so it's not hot, and it's thickened up just a little bit And of course, as it cools, it'll solidify even more. I'm just going to go ahead and pour these over the top of the cinnamon rolls, which are starting to cool down now. And that'll just help the glaze set up. So I'm just going to pour these over the top. And then they're going to take a little bit of time before they'll be ready to eat. I got to tell you, the house smells amazing. I can't wait to dig into these things. They're going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to have to resist the urge. Got to let the glaze set up. But, you know, maybe in 20 or 30 minutes, I'll be ready to dig in. I know my son is champing at the bit to get into these. So between the two of us, we've got to exercise some willpower.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that Let's Bake episode as I worked through baking scratch-made cinnamon rolls. As I said in the episode throughout, I referenced recipes and things like that. If you want to get a hold of those, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/171. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/171 for the show notes and the recipe for these cinnamon rolls. Well, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode. I don't know if I'll get another episode out before 2020 ends or not. There will be more content coming in 2021. So I'll see what I can do to maybe slip one more in before then. But I just want to say really quickly, thanks for a great year. I really, really appreciate the fact that you're willing to spend a little bit of time with me, whether it's listening to all my episodes or jumping in now and then when you see a topic that interests you and listening to the cool people that I do bring on the show now and then. You know, I don't do the show for any other reason than I love food. I love cooking. And I want to help you learn more and be more successful in the kitchen. So if you're getting some value out of this show, that is what it's all about for me. So thank you very much for a great 2020. I hope the new year brings peace and love and prosperity for you and your family. So until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thanks for listening and happy cooking.